Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast. In this podcast, we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we do tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors too.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Alan Collins, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Belino Grosvenor, and we are going to be discussing in this podcast the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority. Hello, Belino.
Hi, good morning, Alan.
Thank you very much, and I hope all is well with you.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to talk about the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority, and so it might be a good idea if you could explain what the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority is.
Of course, no problem. So it's a scheme, it's run by the government, it's government funded, and it's designed to compensate victims of violent crimes in Great Britain. So the compensation is calculated using a tariff of injuries. So the size of the award varies to reflect the seriousness of the injury that's been committed against that person.
Okay, so with a tariff, what do we mean by a tariff? I think you're talking about a sort of table which contains bands of types of injury with amounts of compensation geared to that particular type of injury.
That's exactly right.
So the size of the award that an applicant to the scheme would receive depends on where they fit within that tariff.
Yeah, so presumably if you had a more serious, long-lasting injury or psychological injury, or the crime that was committed was over a repeated basis, then you would receive more compensation.
But to get compensation, you have to meet certain criteria, don't you?
That's right.
So what is the criteria, basically?
Yeah, you do have to have reported the crime to the police. You will have to submit your crime reference number when you submit your application. That's the main, most important thing that we inform people when they're looking to make this application.
What about if you've not reported to the police?
I think that you would be able to report it now. You would definitely have to have that crime reference number, as far as I know, to complete the application.
And what about if you have, as the applicant, a criminal record yourself?
So that is what is quite upsetting in a way about the scheme, is that it is very harsh when it comes to those who have unspent convictions. You may be facing a reduced award or refusal. No reward at all if you do have unspent convictions.
And what about if your convictions are linked to the crime itself that you are complaining about and that you're using to try and obtain compensation?
As far as I'm aware, there isn't any real discretion of the authority. It's quite a blanket ban, so to speak, on those that have those serious unspent convictions, even if you can demonstrate why you've committed those crimes and how they may link to the abuse that you've suffered.
Have you come across any particular examples where there is this, what many would say, injustice?
Absolutely. There was a very recent article on The Independent in relation to the Huddersfield grooming gang case, which I'm sure you're familiar and the readers must be familiar. But it was, in brief, in relation to 20 men who were convicted for grooming very young women. A woman who was involved, she was abused from the age of 11. She applied to this scheme that we're discussing, and she was rejected. And she was rejected because of a dangerous driving offence.
Right. So she was precluded from being compensated, even though what she was complaining about happened to her as a child.
Yeah.
That does seem, I think, from many angles to be unfair. And I understand that it is hoped that the government will reform the criminal injuries compensation scheme so that these sort of injustices can be sort of eradicated.
That's right. I know that a number of legal professionals and otherwise have campaigned against this blanket rejection, as I've called it, it can be very unfair. It can seem very unjust.
And of course, another aspect of all of this is that applicants are meant to apply, as I understand it, to the Criminal Injuries Compensation Scheme within 2 years of the offence that they're complaining about?
Yes, so that is the guidance. However, a number of individuals that we've helped, that time limit does have discretion, unlike the unspent convictions. If you can demonstrate why you haven't applied to the scheme sooner, there is some discretion for that time limit not to be the be all and end all. So if you've only recently reported matters to the police, for example, or if you didn't know the scheme existed, or there's some obvious psychological reason why you haven't been able to come forward sooner about what's happened to you.
Right. But of course, it's still yet another hurdle for lots of people to overcome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because particularly in sexual abuse cases, as we know, victims for survivors don't come forward for many years and are often, usually are well outside the 2 year period.
Yes, that's right. And as I said, there is some discretion, but it is the right of the authority, if they see fit, to reject you past that 2 year time limit.
Okay. And how straightforward is it to make an application?
It's, in my opinion, it's very straightforward. Individuals can do it themselves. They do not need a solicitor to do this. It can be done online, or I believe you can have a form posted to you. It's very straightforward. Brief information is required. That is why the crime reference number is so important, because the authority, they look at your police records to really identify what your compensation may be.
And if the application is successful, the applicant gets offered an amount.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get any guidance as to whether the amount is correct? Do they get any guidance as to whether they ought to have that amount that is being offered reviewed or appealed in some way?
Yes. So when you receive your offer, it will state what, as we mentioned earlier, that tariff, that table, it will mention where they have put you, and you can look at that table and see if you agree. And if not, there is an appeal process.
Yes. And how straightforward is the appeal process?
It's a fairly simple form with a box to sort of explain yourself. So if, for example, you're put in a part of the tariff that says the injury happened once, and you know that in your police records it details, no, it happened X amount of times, you would just draw attention to that.
Right. Okay. And what is your advice to listeners generally when it comes to making an application?
Yes, I think, you know, we've touched upon the unspent convictions. If you can wait and apply to the scheme when your conviction has become spent, then I would absolutely recommend that. The time limit, if you know that you're coming close to that 2 year time limit, make sure you get your application in. And also something that we haven't touched upon is that if you are looking at bringing a civil claim against the individual who committed that crime against you, you cannot be compensated twice. So you would have to repay the authority, the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority, that award if you were then successful in that civil claim.
So if, for example, you got £2,500 from SECA and you made a successful civil claim against the abuser or those responsible for the abuser, for example, an education authority, and you got, I say, £10,000 from them, out of that £10,000, the rules say that you'd have to repay SECA the £2,500.
That's exactly right.
But obviously it's still in that person's interest to pursue the civil claim, because it is likely, in our experience, is it not, that you're going to get a far more realistic award of compensation through pursuing a civil claim than you would get out of SECA.
Yes, exactly.
Because civil damages are actually geared to the actual harm that you have suffered as a person, which is completely different to a fixed amount under the SECA's tariff.
Yes, I mean, if anyone is looking to bring a civil claim and to get that sort of advice of someone such as ourselves, you can then compare that advice to the tariff. You can see that table, that tariff, on the internet, and you can see how low the amounts are in comparison.
Yes, so I think it's fair to say that, generally speaking, the tariff amounts under the SECA scheme are in many ways very low and don't reflect the gravity and the damage that's often experienced in sexual abuse cases.
That's what I've found in my experience and clients that we've helped complete these applications.
Yes, and I think it's important that people understand that in a civil claim, the compensation is actually assessed as regards you as an individual. Mm. So the award is what we call general damages, which is actually for, you know, your pain, suffering, the actual damage which you have suffered. And it's geared to what you as an individual have suffered, as opposed to seeker, which is one size fits all.
Absolutely. And they tend to only, as we've said, only review the police report. That may not include perhaps a victim impact statement or similar. So it doesn't evaluate in anywhere near the same way.
Thank you very much. And I hope that our podcast listeners have found this short foray into the criminal injuries compensation scheme useful. As always, if people have any questions or comments, then please do get in touch with us. Please look at our website. Please do contact us through the website or by emailing us. So thank you very much, Felina, and thank you, podcast listeners.
Pleasure. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. If you would like to speak to Alan or I about something you have heard this week, or even if you would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, please do get in touch at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.